I want to start off the message this morning in a verse called from Joshua 1:9. In fact, in my last church, this grandmother came up to me one time and she says, "You know, my granddaughter learned this verse in her Sunday school class." Because I used to use it a lot. But Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That's what she came up. She says, "You know, she just learned God is with us wherever we go." How powerful that is. For that little child, which is probably about, she was about 4 years old when she memorized that verse, that God is with us wherever we go. And I want you to know that. The Word of God says we can walk with God because He walks with us. He is with us wherever we go. Today our message is titled, Our Walk with God. From Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." That is our text for today. Paul begins Romans chapter 12, 1, with, "I urge you." In the King James, it says, "I beseech you." What this means is he is begging us. He is begging us to present our bodies unto God as a living sacrifice. If we got nothing more out of this message than that, that would be good. God, Paul is saying, "I beg you, present your bodies unto Christ as a living sacrifice." We are to try to live a holy life, one that is acceptable to God. Oh, I've been around people and I've heard other pastors say, people come up to and say, "Well, how much can we sin and still be okay?" Yes. People ask the pastors that. How much can we sin and still be okay? It does not say that. Present your bodies unto God as a living sacrifice. We are to try to live a holy life, one that is acceptable to God. The key to real Christian living is dying to the world and living for Christ. What are we to let to, what are we allowed to lead us? The world and what the world wants? Are we to let Christ lead us? That is the question. We are to die to the world and live for Christ. That will be all we need to learn, just those two things. But there may be a few others as we go through. Dying to the world and living for Christ means that we are not to be worldly minded, but we are to be Christ minded. Isn't that precious? How often do we get today when we live and we think, we hear, "Well, we're to do this, we're to do that." That's all the world. We are to be Christ minded and not worldly minded. Verse 1 ends with this being our spiritual service. In the King James, it says, "This is our reasonable service." I like that better. You know why? Because if we realize what God has done for us, when we realize what God has done for us, what Christ has done in dying on the cross for our sins, shedding His blood for us, and covering us with His blood, it'll be our reasonable service to be Christ-minded. That's what it says. God wants us to live as holy as we can. We are to be as close to God as we can be. When you're out and about, whenever, you think, "Is this what Christ will want me to do?" believers, those who by faith believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, have been made priests unto God. Have you ever thought of that? Every believer has been made a priest unto God. In Revelation chapter 1, the end of verse 5 and part of 6 says this: unto him who loved us and washed our sins clean by his blood. And then verse 6, it made us kings and priests unto God. Believers have been made a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. When Christ was sacrificed on the cross for our sins, it ended the need for animal sacrifices. Christ's sacrifice was once and for all. The sacrifice was complete, and for everyone that accepts his work on the cross by faith. When we accept the work of Christ, all his sacrifice was for everything. It was for the past, present, and future sins that we might make. He died for all of them, all of our sins. Christ purchased and redeemed us. He redeemed the church or the believer with his own precious blood. You know, too often you might say, well, Christ died for my sins. He died and he shed his blood for all of us. As it says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. No, Christ shed his blood for each and every one of us. His blood covers us now. Therefore, we belong to him, and we are to live for him. We're to live for him. The sacrifice that is acceptable to God today is for our bodies to be a living sacrifice, giving praise and honor to God, and living for Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Isn't that precious? You know, sometimes we don't need to think about what others think about us or how to live, do this right or do that right. As long as we're living for Christ, everything will be okay. As long as we live for Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We should not live as the world lives. We should be growing in Christ and living godly lives. Before we accepted Christ Jesus as our Savior and Lord through faith, we were blinded by sin and the god of this world, Satan. Before we came to know Jesus Christ, we were led by Satan. Now we should be guided by our Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit with the mind of Christ. We should be guided with the mind of Christ. I like 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, which says this: for who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's what the verse goes on and says. We have the mind of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ. Our attitude should be the attitude of Christ. Romans 12:2 states that our minds are to be transformed from being worldly minded to being Christ minded. We are new creations. New creations in Christ. Old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I like this little analogy, like a caterpillar is being transformed into a beautiful butterfly. A caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly. We are being transformed from being sinful to being a child of God. Do you know what that means? We are being transformed by the renewing of your mind from being sinful to being a child of God. How precious that is and what that means. Now we are to prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. We are not to be people pleasers. You know, if you've thought about it today, you could always find somebody you can't please, right? You could always find somebody that you're not good enough for. We're not to be people pleasers, but be doing the will of God from the heart. We do the will of God from our very heart. Our thoughts should be on serving Christ, our Savior and Lord. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says there are three stages to the will of God. First, the good. Second, the acceptable. And third, the perfect will of God. The good will of God is that all people will come to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. That's the good will of God. The acceptable will of God is that we try to live holy lives that are pleasing to God. The perfect will of God is that we walk by faith. It is our faith in Christ Jesus that makes us righteous and perfect before God. Our faith in Jesus makes us righteous and perfect before God. Because we have the righteousness of Christ in us then. In Romans 1:17 it says, the just shall live by faith. We live and are justified and righteous before God through faith in Jesus Christ. Walking by faith is giving our lives completely to God and letting Him lead us. We can only be just before God by faith in Jesus Christ. We can only be perfect before God through the perfectness of Christ and our faith in Him. There are examples of people walking with God in Scripture. I want to share probably about four of them. Because we should never forget the examples of the Word of God. They start with Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 22 to 24, it says, Enoch had a perfect walk with God, by the way. It says, and Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters. So the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it confirms this. It says that Enoch was translated or raptured. It was Enoch's faith that made his walk with God possible and pleasing to God. Enoch was so close to God that he did not die. But God took him home early to be with him. That's what this Word of God says. He was so close to God. In fact, as I read the book of Enoch, he spent more and more time with God as the time went on. And less time with people, but more time with God. He was so close to God that God took him home early. Noah is another example of faith and walking with God. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah first found the grace of God, and then he was justified by faith and walked with God in faith and fellowship. What an example for each of us. He found the grace of God, and then he walked with faith and fellowship. Should not each one of us walk with faith and fellowship with God and be fellowshipping with Him as often as we can be? having our minds on Christ. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household." Isn't that something? God says something to Noah. Go build an ark. There's not even any water hardly around. Build an ark. By faith, he prepared an ark for the saving of his people, his household. By faith, he trusted God and did what God told him. Noah and his family were brought through the flood. Noah's faith pleased God. Another example you kids hear about all the time, we all do too. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They walked with God, and God brought them through the fiery furnace. Isn't that powerful? What an example of Scripture. They walked with God, and he brought them through the fiery furnace. Paul, the Apostle Paul, walked with God. Paul said one of the most powerful verses, I think, in all the Bible. And oh, there's so many, I think, so we can't count that one. But in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me." What a powerful verse. Paul knew he was dead to sin, but alive unto God through faith in Jesus Christ. Christ lives in us by the Holy Spirit, and we live in him. Our testimony should be the same as Paul's. We should know that Christ lives in us. And he does. Just like Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me." God wants us to walk with him by faith. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says this, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, it is he that goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." I love that, and it's repeated throughout Scripture. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he it is that goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. We should never forget that. Just like it says in Hebrews chapter 13, 5, he will never leave us nor forsake us. It's repeated right there again. Praise God for that. Almighty God says, "Do not be afraid. He will walk with us. He'll walk with you." Remember that, no matter what you're going through. Somebody's bullying you. Somebody's being mean to you. Somebody's doing something that's just not right. God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God will walk with us, and we have nothing to fear. The more we walk with God, the more alive and real our hope of his coming will be. By faith, we have been saved to eternal life. By faith, we are to walk with God, trusting in him, and by faith, we are to be looking for his return. Everybody today, we should not be looking for signs. We should be looking for Christ's return. As it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what God tells us to be looking for, our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is coming back for us, and it may be soon. We're to be looking for Christ's return. Through our faith in Jesus, we have his righteousness, eternal life, and our walk can be pleasing to God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Do you believe that God is? Praise God for that. And do you believe that he will reward you? Yes, he will. Pray thanking God that you know him by faith, that you have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord, and that you can trust him and that he will lead and guide and direct you. Without Christ, we can do nothing, as it says in John chapter 15, verse 5. But with him, it says, we have all things. 1 Corinthians 3:21. We can walk with God because he walks with us. We will never be alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we just praise you and thank you. We thank you, God, for your word. A word that we can hold on to. A word that allows us to know Jesus Christ, the living word, as our Savior and Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love for us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.